It's a privilege beyond words to be able to share the gospel with all of those that are sitting in the congregation today. I asked the Lord for a message to give for this particular congregation. And I believe no matter how intense your prayer is or how simple it is or how long it is or how short it is, He hears every one of them. So He gave me a simple message to work on and to give you today. And here we go. Simple message. Knowing the will of God. Thank you, Lord, for that one. When I was a kid, well, as you heard, I was raised Jewish. And when I was 5 years old, my parents would send me to Sunday school to learn the Old Testament. And I had some good teachers, because I remember it really influenced my life. And I, as a kid, I just believed. I believed everything. You know, it was simple to I believe that God created Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed life into his nostrils. I believed in the story of Adam and Eve and how they disobeyed God and sin came into the world. I believed in the story about Noah, where sin increased so much, God destroyed the world at that time except for one righteous family. And then they began to multiply again, and God formed the rainbow, which is meant to be for a promise from God, and that He will never flood the world again. Thank God for that, because sometimes I think we surely have deserved it. But and then on and on, but just all of the things I learned from scriptures as a young child, I look at my life and I didn't come to know Christ until I was in my 20s. But I believed in God all my life. I remember one day, I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. And this was such a clear memory of mine. I got to grab a little water. It's such a clear memory of mine. I remember picking up a handful of dirt in my backyard. And I was looked at that dirt, and I was thinking of the stories about how Adam was made from the dust of the ground and how God breathed life into him. And I was looking at that, and I was thinking of that. And then I looked around, and I looked at the flowers and the trees, and just thinking of everything that gets life from that dirt. It brings to mind the scripture, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Well, we human beings are at the top of that list of God's glory. We are the greatest aspects of His creation. And so, so from a little child, I've always believed in God. And I believe that it was that faith that I had that really maybe caused God to draw me in to learn about Christ. As a Jewish young man, it was not something that was approved by those in my faith at that time. But it was still something that you can't avoid. I believe every person that has a seeking heart that believes in God will come to know Christ. I believe that. The very first requirement for knowing God's will is that a person must believe that God is real. The belief must come from the heart. A kind of a subtitle of this particular message is not only knowing God's will, but it's all a matter of the heart. Okay? Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Well, the original text in Greek actually communicates it this way: "Blessed are those that have a clean heart, for they shall come to know God." The scribes asked Jesus in Mark chapter 12, they said, "Which is the greatest commandment?" And for a good reason, every time I put together a sermon, God gives me this scripture. And it's going to be clear on why he gives me this scripture in a few minutes. So the scribes asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And I love this part. "There is none other commandment greater than these." Now, for a person that believes in God, hearing something that says, "This is the most important thing," stands out in my life. If God is God, and you know, I can say I believe in God, and I always have, but you know what? For quite a few years now, the belief has turned into knowing. I know God, and I know the reality of God. But this scripture is not only about relationship with God and relationship with all mankind. It's also about how to love God, how to love our neighbors. And it has to be from the heart. It has to be from the heart. Now, the heart, our physical heart, is the center of our bodies. And it pumps blood to our bodies, and obviously if we didn't have that heart, we'd be dead. Okay? When the scriptures use the word heart, it doesn't mean the physical heart within our body. It means the center of our being, the very center of our being. The heart is the key to knowing God's will. Psalms 44:21, "Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." God is God. He knows every little aspect of our life. He knows every thought we have. He knows everything about us. I always say that we are totally naked before God in every way, shape, and form. He knows everything about us. So there's no use in trying to hide from him because he just knows. But first, you have to believe that he exists. Proverbs 15:14, "The heart of him that has understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." If a person's heart, from the center of your being, believes in something, from the center of your being believes in something, you're going to want to know all about it. There are many worldly aspects of this. A person that from the center of their being loves their car. Okay? So they learn how to fix it up, how to make it look really good. They put a huge amount of money, time, and effort into that car. A person that, a mother and a father that has a child, from the center of their being love that child and does crazy sacrificial things for years to provide for that child. I can give you stories of fathers and mothers that I know personally that have sacrificed and done things for their children that are so over the top. It's just amazing, the sacrifices that they've have done. Okay, see, I'm a little farther than let's go back to that one. And Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. And that's what I'm talking about. When the heart, when the center of your heart believes in God, you're going to want to know everything about God. You're going to want to know if there's a way that he means for you to live in this crazy world that we're living in. We all know that this world is full of good and it's full of evil. And I remember times when I was around 19 years old, I started questioning about if there is a God. And I started seeking on my own knowledge about God because I believed that there was a God. Now I wanted to know it. So I turned over every rock that's available to come to know God, including opening the scriptures of the New Testament. Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasures of the heart bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. Well, there's good and evil in the world. There's good and evil also that comes from our hearts. Good stuff comes out of it, and bad stuff can come out of it. It's a choice. But when we believe in God from the center of our being, which is from our heart, from the center of our being, and it causes us to drive to know more about that which we believe in from the center of our being as much as we can get. Acts 28:27, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. And what the word heal in that scripture actually means is come to be saved, to come to know salvation. So my question for you this morning is, do you believe in God with all your heart? Do you believe in God from the center of your very being? As your physical heart is the center of your body, your spiritual heart is from the center of your being. And that is where it's a life force for your spiritual journey into eternity. Okay? The physical body, the physical heart that we have helps our body to live to be a certain age if we take good care of it. Okay? We can maybe make it to 100 years old nowadays. But the spiritual heart within your being, the spiritual heart within your being is the life force of your spiritual journey all the way into eternity, okay? And that's a powerful thing. When I say the name of God, I also am saying the name of Jesus, because they are one. The Father and the Son are one. John 10:27-30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus has only had two prayers that he prayed that were recorded in Scripture. Only two prayers. Out of all the times he prayed, I mean, there was many times in the Scriptures where it says Jesus went to pray. But there's only two that have been recorded. The one was teaching us how to pray with the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's how to pray, okay? That's a sermon in itself, and maybe you have heard sermons on the Our Father. The other prayer that Jesus prayed was this prayer that I'm going to read, and it's a chapter, and I'm going to read it. And in this chapter, as I begin to read it, it really is clear that Jesus is praying for his disciples. But there's a verse in here that proves clearly that he's also praying for us. And I'm going to read this verse first, and it goes like this. It goes, I do not pray for these alone, meaning his disciples. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Now, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior by reading the Bible. I did not have circumstances in my life that brought me so far down. There was no other way to look but up. I was having a good life. Things were fine. But I was seeking to know God and to know if there's a way that he means for me to live in this confusing, crazy, sin-filled world. And in seeking, I read the Scriptures. And having knowledge of the Old Testament, I connected the dots. The messianic scriptures of all the prophecies that communicated about the coming of the Messiah and the fulfillment of every single one by Jesus Christ. And I looked up to find out what's the possibility of somebody just doing that. And what was it? It was one with 180 zeros after it to one. Possibility of somebody being able to fulfill all the scriptures in the Old Testament. So I'm going to read this. And as I read this, I want everybody to think Jesus is praying for you. Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be filled. That's Judas. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify, which means set them apart. Sanctify them for your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. How many of you have gone on mission trips before? Quite a few. When you go on mission trips, even across the ocean, somewhere else, wherever you go on mission trips and you meet Christians in other parts of the world, it's like meeting family. It's amazing how we are one in Christ Jesus. No matter where you go, it just seems like it's like the extended family. It's amazing. It always has amazed me. Okay? Now that I lost my place. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. In them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. That is oneness. That's the oneness that Jesus has with the Father, and it's the oneness that he wants us to have with him, and it's the oneness that he wants us to have with each other. That's why believers in Christ is like an extended family. At the same time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Children believe from their hearts, the very center from their being. They believe from their hearts. If you have children, you know that. Okay? The problem is children believe anything. They're young, okay, and they will believe anything. And if a parent leads them, that's why Proverbs 22:6 is so important. Train up a child in the way in which they should go, so that when they are old, they won't depart from it, okay? That is such an important scripture for children because they do believe anything. But children, everything that they believe from the center of their being. It's the influence of the world that numbs them to that. As they grow up in this world, the peer pressures and the sin in the world causes children to lose that instant faith and instant knowledge of what glorifies God. Now, every person is an eternal spirit being. And a lot of times as Christians, we forget this. But there's three parts to our being. We are a spirit being, an eternal spirit being. Every human is an eternal spirit being. And obviously, we're going to live for eternity or be separated from God for eternity, if you know what I'm saying. But every human being is the eternal being according to the mystery that has been given to us in the Scriptures. Every person is a spirit being. We have a soul. our thinking abilities and reasoning and emotions. We have a soul, which is also eternal. And we have a body, that's our house, that our spirit and soul lives in. And it's the only part that is temporal. And boy, it is temporal. It keeps telling me how temporal it is. Okay? But it is temporal. And children, very young children, are spirit, soul, and body beings. They are eternal spirit, soul, and body beings. And I was a children's pastor for like 12 years. Right? I always was amazed at not only how children believed, but how sensitive they were to what glorifies God and what doesn't. And I wanted to prove out that children, very young children, had a relationship with God and how it's influenced out of them. Not all of them, because some of them are trained up in the way in which they should go, so that when they are old, they don't depart from it. But some of them lose it. So, I put 24 3- and 4-year-olders in a row on chairs. 3- and 4-year-olders. And I began to ask them some questions. I said, I want you to answer me with yes or no. And I said, does obeying your mommy glorify God? Yes or no? They all screamed, yes! I said, does sharing a piece of candy glorify God? Yes or no? Yes! Does being mean to a friend glorify God? Yes or no? No! Does helping a friend find their lost dog glorify God? Yes or no? Yes! And I tried to get it more complex as I went on. I don't remember all the questions I asked. And I said, if your mom baked some cookies and said don't eat any until after dinner, and you, when she wasn't looking, took one, does that glorify God? Yes or no? No! And I went on, and I videotaped this whole thing on VHS format back then. But I videotaped the whole thing, and I brought their parents in to see it. They never got one question wrong. But here's the thing. If you ever asked them why, they would have no clue. They would never be able to communicate why doesn't it glorify God. They don't have that ability and that reasoning capabilities. But there's something within their spirit that they were able to answer those questions correctly. But they weren't able to reason it out. I thought that was pretty amazing. I think that should go down in Ripley's Believe It or Not. So, do you believe in God with all your heart from the center of your being? Do you believe in Jesus from the center of your being? When I say the names of God and Jesus, I am also saying the name of the Holy Spirit because they are one. When I say the name of God and Jesus, I am also saying the name of the Holy Spirit because they all are one. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Now, when you say they're one, some people get confused with this. How can three be one? But, you know, you can use an egg, for example, the shell, the yolk, the white, you know, but and you ask somebody what it is and they say each one is an egg, okay? But the thing is that they are one because they may be separate entities, but they are in total agreement with every thought, every word, every action that happens with the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. They are in 100% agreement, and they know each other. They know God's will, just like after today you will. Hopefully, we all will. But that's the oneness of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 5 through 15. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. God wants us to kill the body, spiritually speaking, not physically. When we make decisions in our life that are not good for our body, and this deals with pretty much every type of physical addiction that you could possibly have. Those, and I'll tell you this right now, a person that has been addicted to any type of addiction, no matter what it is, pornography, drugs, alcohol, it doesn't matter. Whatever a person is addicted to, that person knows how to love from the heart. From the center of their being is where that addiction love is. It's in that addiction, from the center of their being. It's like everything. It's like their top priority. And it becomes that. That's how intense it is, okay? And here's the thing. It's always a choice. When you make that choice, the only way that you can get away from that is with the help that God gives us. God becomes our Father. He reteaches us how to make decisions in life and gives us the help we need. I asked about, do you believe in God from the center of your being? What that means is God top priority in your life? Some people say, well, no, my wife is. And I say, well, if God's top priority in your life, you're going to learn how to love your wife the way God meant for you to do that. No, my children are top priority. Well, if you make God your top priority in your life and you learn about God's ways to be a mother or a father, then you're going to love your children in the way God designed it to be done. Okay? And hopefully they're free will beings that they'll listen and agree and grow up and not depart from it. Amen? When a person comes to know Christ, again, we are eternal spirit beings. This is the awesome thing. When a person comes to know Christ, you believe in God from the center of your being. Jesus is the same as God. They're one. When you come to believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, from the center of your being, a miracle takes place within your being. It is called regeneration. Your spirit, the real you, the eternal part of you, becomes regenerated. It was totally separated from God. It was totally separated from God. There are things that you weren't receiving the help that you need if your spirit is not regenerated. When your spirit becomes regenerated, you become alive unto the things of God again, just like you were when you were a little child and believed everything from the center of your being. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you become that alive again to the things of God. Why? Because you become born again, like a little child. A little child in the Christian faith. When you become born again, you all of a sudden are opened up to a relationship with God, and here's what happens. Not only does your spirit become regenerated, but the Spirit of the living God comes to dwell within your mortal body. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, the Spirit of God dwells in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And Christ is in you. Okay. Go back. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of adoption, by whom you cry, Abba, Father. When your spirit becomes regenerated and you are open to a new relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within your mortal body, not only are you connected with God, but you have a helper that came within you to help you to be able to deal with issues in your life. And that's why we need to kill the body, spiritually speaking. That the desires of the flesh... You know, it seems like all of us human beings that were created by God on this earth are here for a reason, a united reason, one that's for all of us. And I think it has to do with realizing our dependency upon God to help us to deal with sin, to help us to deal with temptations, to help us to deal with the difference between good and evil. That we need help to deal with those things. God knows we can't do it all by ourselves, even though there's a lot of people out there in the world that say they can. We need that help. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed from the heart, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of God dwells in us. That's why I said very young children are alive unto God, and when you're born again, in a Christian sense, you're renewed unto that being alive unto God. Jesus said to his disciples, when the disciples were saying that they don't want him to leave, you know, just think if you had God with you, you know, for 3 years, it would be very difficult if he tells you he's splitting, you know. And so Jesus said to them, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And the only way we're going to know what he has said unto us is by getting into the Word. There's so much in there that is so clear and easy to know. So, do you believe in God with you from the center of your being? Is he the number one priority in your existence? Do you believe in Jesus with all from the center of your being? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit from the center of your being? When I say, when I say the name of God, I say the name of Jesus because they are one. When I say the name of God and Jesus, I say the name of the Holy Spirit because they are one. And when I say the name of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I am saying the name of the Word of God because they are one. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus became the living Word. People tell me sometimes, the people that are from different denominations or don't even know Christ or maybe had bad experiences in their life in Christianity of some sort, okay, they say, well, the Bible's been translated for so long, blah, 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 so they don't read it, okay? God is God. If he wants to make sure his word is his word, it will stay his word. And the Bible says the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall remain forever. And that is true. The word of God is the word of God. That's why it's the most important book to read. And and you've been told that. We've all been told that many different times. And it is a discipline to do, to read it and to, to look into it. I tell people don't read the Bible. I really do. I tell them don't read the Bible. Just stay in it every day and let it read you. Because it's a living book and that's what it does. It reads you. It causes you to be convicted in certain areas of your life. And it also tells you how to get the help you need to overcome everything. Everything. There's no temptation that comes on a person in which God does not give us a way out. I'm kind of cruising through here, though. Okay, here's an example of Jesus. He delivered somebody that had some type of demonic presence in their life, and he delivered the man. And he talked about how the demon goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. And he says, the demon says he'll return to the house in which he came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes out and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. First of all, that's called deliverance. Jesus delivered somebody from a demonic presence in their life. And it's interesting, the next thing that was communicated. And it happened that, as he spoke these things and delivered this man, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nurtured you." But Jesus told her and he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Whew, that's powerful. Do you believe in God with all your heart? Do you believe in Jesus with all your heart? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit with all your heart? And do you believe in the Word of God with all your heart? I think that's the biggest concern of Christianity today, is people do not believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. And if you look into it, it'll prove itself out to you on how real it is and how powerful it is. Knowing the will of God in every moment and situation in our life comes automatically when you love God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God's Word with your whole heart. It's automatic. You'll automatically know what God's will is for your life in every situation, in every moment. If He wants you to go to Africa to be a missionary, you'll know it. God's God. It'll come to you, and you'll know that. No matter, or if He wants you to, if He wants you to talk to a co-worker and just share with them a little bit of love, okay, you'll know it, because God is God. If you love God from your center of your being, you will always know what God's will is. It's just automatic. That's why you don't have to always be convicted about not doing enough. We all get into that place as Christians about being convicted about not doing enough. You don't have to be convicted about not doing enough. God is God. If He wants you to do something, He'll let you know. And then you make a decision. When you choose to make, see how that I got that all in one word? God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God's Word. I thought that was pretty cool. The highest priority on this temporal journey moving quickly towards eternity, you will always know God's will for your life. Could we have the worship team come forward, please? I know the Lord gave me kind of a serious message for today. There wasn't a lot of laughter in it, but it was an important one. It's about how to know God's will by having a pure heart. And I can't say enough how important it is to read the Bible. George Washington says, it is totally impossible to rightly govern a world without God and the Bible. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Andrew Jackson, that book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. If you guys could kind of just play something, I'm going to pray. Let's all bow our heads and close your eyes. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, for giving us no excuses to live a righteous, holy, victorious life in this temporal, sin-filled world. I've learned, and many of us in here have learned, the only way we can accomplish this is through a pure-hearted relationship with You. Is through believing in Jesus from the center of our being. Is believing in the Holy Spirit from the center of our being to help us, because He dwells within us as we believe, as we receive Christ as our Savior. A pure-hearted belief in Your Word, that as we stay in it, it will transform our lives and help us to learn to live victorious in a sin-filled world. While every head is bowed and eye is closed, if there's anyone in here that needs to receive Christ as their Savior, to be forgiven of your sins, to become like a child born again in the spiritual sense, to become anew today, just let me know by raising your hand up so I can see that. Praise You, Jesus. If in your life you have had challenges to the point that has been bringing you down, and you need to rededicate your life to once again believing in Jesus Christ from the center of your being, seeking help to accomplish anything that you need to accomplish in your life, if you need that rededication, let me know by lifting your hand up. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus Christ.